You gonna stop and let me do an intro or what? I said, are you gonna stop and let me do an intro or what?
It's my birthday.
Yeah, I know.
It's
a birthday edition of Mentioned in Dispatches with a well lubricated birthday boy. Howdy, Mirth.
Hey, Brent, how's it going?
I'm doing fine. We also have our buddy BB Mike joining us. Howdy, Mike.
Who's behind the curve, I think, but how's it going?
Well,
come on, Mike. You know you have scotch going.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I've got something almost as strong, though. I've got it's DC tap water. So.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
The fluoridation will kill you.
So, BB Mike, what is your go-to drink while gaming?
Oh, usually scotch while gaming.
Yeah, straight yeah. Or do you pour it over something?
Straight as it can be.
Yeah, Mirth, whatever's in reach, right?
Yeah, no, I'm having some delicious cider right now.
Is it a local one or is it a national brew?
It's a Harpoon. I don't know.
Okay, Harpoon's a wide regional one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't know they made cider though.
Yeah, we.
They make whatever you want, Mike.
Yeah, apparently. After a while, it tastes like whatever you want it to taste like.
I know it's a macro brand. I don't care. The cider that the folks from, that the Stella folks make is actually a really good cider.
I've had that too.
The one that they advertise.
The problem is here in Maine, like, they have all kinds of craft ciders, but like a 4-pack costs you like $15. So.
Yeah. We've got a local brewery down here that does some cider, and it's Bold Rock, and it's crap. It is awful. You know how they've got like the La Croix flavored waters that are just sort of barely a hint of any flavor? Yeah. It's like that for apples. It's sort of alcoholic water with a little bit of like, you know, was packed in the same warehouse with some apples nearby. Like that's.
It's like Zima's made a comeback in a different form.
I've had that apple stuff.
Alcoholic seltzer.
Yeah, more.
There
that's
you go.
Yeah. All right.
25 years ago, we called that Zima. Now we call it some kind of craft brew bullshit.
I suppose somewhere in here we probably ought to talk some games. Otherwise, you might get some hate mail about not talking games. Besides which, I don't know whether or not you can get cider on Kickstarter. But
you can get anything on Kickstarter.
Probably.
That's the beauty of Kickstarter.
So Mike, I know that both Mirth and I took the plunge on Lock and Load's relaunch of the World at War 85 series. Did you join us in the Kickstarter for that one?
I submitted my shipping payment this afternoon.
I think we all did.
Good man.
Yeah, I've answered all the questions and everything.
Yeah, I think
me too. And I frequently reference Armchair Dragoons.
And you know, I did too. And because I saw in there, they were like, you know, where'd you get your information from? And of course, they list all these other sites, maybe one or two I've heard of before. And I was like, which one's Armchair Dragoons?
Some which I may vaguely remember from the past.
Yes. Yes. Well, by the time, by the time we had talked to Dave and worked out, getting some banners sent over, there was about a week left in the campaign. So the banners weren't up all that terribly long at our site. And part of that is we've still got some technical challenges with getting the banners working in the forums
like
correctly.
Good, competent IT help,
I know. That's if only I had an IT guy that I could pay in beer. The challenge that we have for folks that have been to our forums and noticed a stunning lack of banners there, for us to support the publishers and them to support us, the skin that we're using on the forums, the theme that we've got is, the reason we chose that one. First of all, it looks really good, but with the heavy icon driven menus in there, they scale really well. When you switch between a mobile interface or a tablet interface or working on a full size computer. And so because of that user interface, It's a different skin than we're used to normally working with. And so the banners, we're having to sort of tweak the setting on the banners on the back end a little bit.
What is this Origins thing coming up?
Yeah.
We should look into this.
Oh, pay no attention to that, by the way.
Well, it's funny you should say that. Up to today, I really haven't paid much attention to it. I'm supposed to be learning. What did I sign up for?
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I think you know from experience, it doesn't matter what you sign up for. Don't bother learning it.
Guys, you realize the public gets to hear this, right?
Wait a minute.
I was thoroughly prepared for every game that I ran, except, not thoroughly prepared at all.
Yeah, except
that I was there.
You see, generally,
you came back, and now you're running the games that I couldn't run.
Generally, you run your blooper reel after the movie. And you see, you guys are sort of front-loading the blooper reel here, and that's not usually the way to do it.
Oh, Cataclysm. That's what I'm running. Cataclysm.
Oh, no. God, I have that game. God, I want to show up I want to know how to run it, but I want to know how to play it.
Well, see, the fun part of Mike sort of pretending that he forgot what he was running is Cataclysm was his idea. It's not like we just shoveled that at him and said, here's what you're doing and you'll like it.
Well, in my defense, Cyrano had me running Agricola, and I said, look, I don't know if I can do this.
Yeah, there's some good sarcasm for you. The
how do you even pronounce it? Is it Agricola or Agricola? I don't even know.
I have no idea. I'm from Pensacola, so I say Agricola.
I'll tell you how I saw that. I just don't play it, and then I don't have to worry about
Agricola.
Yeah. And then there's the slimmed down portable version that's Diet Agricola.
Let's talk about games that I have coming, because I have the Panzer expansion, France 1940, on its way to my house right now.
Does it include small white flags to pin into the French vehicles?
Well, I don't know.
You have to order those aftermarket from Litco?
Those French 1940 tanks are fantastic. It's just the higher command is not viable.
So I was going to ask, other than the World at War 85 game, what else do you have that you've recently ordered and have on the way or it is imminently expected? You've got your France 1940 expansion for Panzer. Did you jump on any of the 40X series that everybody's been talking about in the forums? The Holland 44, Normandy 44.
Well, I own most of those games.
Yeah, but they've got stuff on pre-order also, and I didn't know if you jumped on those.
I know, but I also recently bought Cataclysm, which apparently Mike knows all about.
He better by June anyway.
Maybe we can compare notes, because I'm literally looking on my table oh, there's Cataclysm. I should probably do something with that.
How did you find it through the stack of other games? The Mind Bibles.
I've recently had to expand my table space for games, so I now have a new table for the game shit.
You know, most people put them on shelves.
Oh, no. I mean, I don't think you understand the problem.
I understand the problem. You're a pack rat. That's the problem.
I was going to say, if you keep watching Hoarders, you're going to see Mirth.
Mike, what else have you ordered recently? What else have you got on the way?
Well, actually, just opened today, Warfighter Pacific came in.
Get out!
Even though I saw some card games were taking flack on the forums today. But, yeah, that came in. And then the expansion to Time of Crisis came in today.
Okay.
Wow, Time of Crisis.
So what does the Time of Crisis expansion do for you?
It supposedly adds governors that run around on the map, and there's some new events, and just kind of gussies things up a little bit.
Well, because I know that's one that you know pretty well.
Makes it more of a crisis?
No, you say I know it pretty well, but I haven't played that since Origins.
You're supposed to know it pretty well.
This is tight. We should play those games sometime.
I'm sure it'll all come back to me. But yeah, that's, I got a stack here too. I've got, still from the, what was it, gosh, the Black Friday sales. I've got Pacific Tide from Compass Games.
Oh, you have that?
I have that. I have
we should play that. I have that too.
Cruel Necessity came in not too long ago. That's an older one, but I want to give that one a shot. What else did I get? Wilderness War. Got that one on sale.
Is that the one from is that the one from GMT or is that the one from Worthington?
No, this is GMT.
Okay. Well, so you've got plenty to keep you busy.
I do. That's true.
So just out of curiosity, have you jumped – what was the we've talked a bunch of war game stuff. Have you jumped on any role-playing order stuff recently also? Because I know you were talking Mutant Crawl Classics with some of the guys in the forums. I think you've probably got most of it, but I didn't know if there was any RPG stuff that had caught your eye lately that you were in imminent danger of picking up.
Imminent danger of picking up. I saw that Humble Bumble just put Stars Without Number up today. There's another, it's like there's two Stars Without Number packages out today. So I might jump on those. I've got one, I think I've got the older version of that, but I think this included the updated version. So I may grab that.
I've got a quick start PDF of that one that seemed kind of interesting. It's like every other role playing game I've ever owned. You know, I read through it, looks really cool. This is another one of the ones that I just don't know that I've got anybody around here to sit down and play with. And the problem with most role-playing games is it's tough to get a really good appreciation of them through a one-shot adventure. You know, yeah. That you sort of need, you need a good DM or GM and an extended time, so.
Stop making excuses. Banzai Cat's found friends to play games with.
And if he can do it, anybody can do it.
Exactly, thank you.
There's hope for the rest of us.
Chris, I know you don't have any role-playing stuff on the way. What else you got? What else is on the way?
I got a lot actually going on. I've been playtesting a couple of games. I mean, we have our annual spring con is coming up. Huzzah! Blah, blah,
huzzah!
Blah. Huzzah! Yeah. So that's actually coming up. So I've been playing some. I've been playtesting a couple of games for that with people that I know and I like. And they've been terrible games, but I know and I like them, so I playtest them. So, and then we have a monthly group who we're still doing stuff with. And then, I don't know, I got my own stuff going on. I'm actually hoping to someday play Red Dead Revolver 2 on PS4, which I've owned since Christmas, but maybe someday I'll play.
I'm in that same boat.
Yeah, I know you are.
I got that great deal on a PlayStation for like $50 or whatever. It ended up being maybe free after all the discounts and everything, and I played it for about 20 minutes.
My 10-year-old kids loved it. I went on to the PlayStation Network, which I hadn't done, and I got, Deus Ex, whatever the latest one is. Like, it was like $7. And am I going to play it? No, but I own it.
Well, it works for wargaming, works for computer gaming, and console gaming as well.
Oh, yeah, no, it's, no.
Yeah, but the thing is, your Steam library doesn't take up your dining room table.
Well, this is the problem. I'm actually looking at, my whole thing is, I want to play the GMT at any cost, Mets 1870 game. I'm actually reading a book that Bison, of all people, recommended to me. So I'm deeply involved in the Franco-Prussian War. I'm up to my butt in it. And I have the game sitting here, and I want to play it, and I don't know, maybe someday. It's actually sitting on my table right now, like staring at me, like, why don't you play me?
Weren't you guys sorting out, like, a tabletop simulator or vassal session that you were going to be able to sit down and play?
I don't know. Dude, I'm looking at like MBT, two versions of MBT. I've got Panzer up the butt coming. I don't know. I have some issues, Brad, with games.
Yeah, you have a Panzer up your butt. That's an issue.
I'm looking at U.S. Civil War GMT. Never played it. It's sitting over on my.
And how long have you had it?
2 years at least.
That's it.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate that.
There's another question. What game have you had the longest that you've never played?
Oh, that's a good question.
That is a good question. Yeah.
Wow. I don't know. That would be...
there's so many.
Are we talking war games or are we talking role playing?
Awesome. Like, oh my god, I own that game.
I was thinking war game.
I mean, I literally have stuff in boxes that I don't even know that I own.
I have a copy of Soldier Kings here that somebody bought for me at Origins in 2005 that I've never managed to get on the table.
2000.
Yeah, no. I mean, I literally am. I'm looking at my copy of. Hold on.
He was never.
Yeah, but the thing is, all the stuff that I have that's older than that.
I have my copy of Tacker that I bought at Origins almost 3 years ago.
Yeah. So, like, I've got my copy of Air and Armor on the shelf here, and my copy is still an unpunched one, but I've played the game a bunch. I've played the game 20, 30 times, just not that copy of it. So, if we're going to ask the question about what game have you had the longest and not played, we got to kind of set the parameters, because if we're talking about the copies on my shelf, that's a different answer than, you know.
Overall, from the beginning.
Yeah, well...
Well, I actually own 3 copies of Gulf War.
Have you played
it? And I do own 3 copies of Gulf War.
Well, the U.S. government only owns 2 copies of a Gulf War, so...
I know. They should talk to me, because I can help them out a lot.
Yeah, so, in terms of what I've owned the longest that I have not played, it's probably that Soldier Kings game, because everything I've got that's older than that, I've played at least once. If not my copy, I've played a copy of it somewhere along the way. The next one after that's probably Fab Sicily that I've got that I've had about 6-7 years that I haven't played. Now, I have some games over here that are older than Soldier Kings, but I haven't owned them as long. You know, they were out of print stuff that I bought secondhand along the way or that somebody sent me.
That's a good point because I own a shit ton of... pardon my language, SBI games, which, I'm a nut for the old stuff, so. I like, you know, I don't know, F-15 versus Foxbat or whatever.
Foxbat and Phantom.
Yeah, I know, I have that, actually.
Yeah.
Am I gonna play it, ever? No. But I own a copy of it.
You never know.
The one to be careful with isn't so much Foxbat and Phantom. Don't accidentally stumble into getting a copy of Air War. That is...
I may have a copy of that.
Yeah, that is one of the 3 or 4 most unplayable games ever invented.
Well, SBI invented most of the unplayable games, so...
Yes. Yes, that one is way up there. Michael, you asked the question and then dodged answering it. What's the...
I think I mentioned this before. A game I've owned since I was probably, just out of high school is Federation and Empire. I have never played that game for obvious reasons.
Yeah, if you'd started when you were 12, you might be halfway through it by now.
And then another game is Task Force Games, Viceroy's. Never played it.
You should check the Origins program and see if somebody's running a session of it.
I gotta be too busy learning Cataclysm. I can't do
that. Well, you better have learned it by the time you show up for Origins.
I'm going to a gaming. I can't play games.
So let's ask this, Mike. Of all of the games in your collection, what's the one that people are most likely to look at on your shelf and go, "Why the hell do you have that?" See, Murth secretly got a full collection of all of the Carcassonne expansions that he doesn't want us to know about.
No, Murth doesn't. But please, Mike, continue with this line of conversation.
Well, Murth, we're coming your way next.
Oh, yeah. You have time.
That's fine. I want to hear what Mike's got.
I do have a couple of the Tiny Epic games. I know those are frowned upon.
I've got 2 of them.
Yeah.
I've got Tiny Epic Kingdoms, which turned out to not really be as good as I wanted it to be. And I've got Tiny Epic Galaxies, which I've had forever and sat down to try and learn my way through a couple of times and just can't.
There are some people that might look at my Dawn of the Zets game and kind of question that one. Which is another game I've yet to play. So, I think it's about it, though. Maybe Master of Orion. Murth might question that one.
Did you actually buy that?
Eventually. Now ask the follow-up question.
Mirth?
No, yeah. Did I ever play that? No, I did not.
Well, we knew that, Mike.
Yeah, I think that's probably...
All right, Mirth, what do you got in your collection that people would sort of scratch their head and go, why the hell do you have that one?
Oh, I have a lot of those, actually. I have multiple SBI and Victory games, so it's like, what the hell were you thinking?
A lot of the Victory stuff isn't too bad. It's some of the SBI stuff's a little questionable.
Yeah, no, but I'm a whore for the old school stuff, so I tend to buy all of it. Anytime it's like $20 for some random game that you're never gonna play, oh, I'm sold.
Yeah.
I don't know. The funny thing is, it's my birthday, and I got an email from my ex. My kid's all excited about buying me a game, and he wants to buy me Axis and Allies. And I gotta tell you, I own 14 versions of Axis and Allies. And I don't know why it got into my kid's head that he wants to buy me Axis and Allies. But whatever. I appreciate the thought, you know. So apparently I'm going to get the latest version of Axis and Allies.
Oh, tell me it's the zombies version.
No, it's not. It's
like, oh, come on. That would be awesome.
All right. No, it's not. Okay. I know this is going to disappoint you and the rest of America right now. It's not the zombies. I know. Buzz, I can't. I'm never going to buy a game again. Oh, zombies, Axis, and Allies. I'm buying them.
He is like Homer Simpson in Donuts.
Oh, my God. Donut. Zombie. And, I actually own like 7 versions of Axis and Allies.
So wait, which version are you getting?
I don't know. Whatever the latest $50 version.
That's the zombie one.
Shut up. Trust me, don't get extensive AAR if I get that one.
That's awesome. Bring that to Origins, I'll teach you it instead.
They had a big booth for that one last year at Origins. That's the one that had the M3 tank there. Yeah. That was the one that had the tank there. As we were walking through the gaming hall where that one was set up, Cyrano nudged me and he said, "That game right there is the answer to the question no one is asking."
Come on. Bonsai Cat, who repeatedly says he's like, "I'm never buying another game again." Axis and Allies Zombies.
I had to shake my head because I was looking at the Warfighter stuff because I just got my Pacific thing today. There's some new expansion packs that came out, and one is actually a zombie expansion pack for Warfighter.
Are you kidding me?
I'm not.
Oh my God.
I was like, why are we doing this?
Well,
why does everyone have a hard on for zombies?
We need this?
The answer is no.
Okay.
Let's rewind a little bit because I'm very excited about the Kickstarter for Lock and Load, World at War 85. Thank God they very specifically said no fucking zombies or any other bullshit.
Well, no, they just said in the first release, I think the next one coming out, they're going to cover zombies.
Oh, yeah.
Because remember, this...
I did not say that, by the way.
This is World War 85. There's going to be a nuclear exchange, and then we get into Gamma World territory.
Yeah. No, that's exactly, Knowing David Heath and the conversations I had, that's exactly what's going to happen,
I better be careful. I could be selling something here that I don't want to.
Based on my last conversation with David, I would not be expecting a whole lot of the supernatural to show up in the World at War 85 series.
I think they're doing just fine the way they're doing it,
You might see it elsewhere.
$100,000 on an $18,000 Kickstarter, it seems like they know what they're doing.
Yeah, amazing.
So, you brought up the Kickstarter thing. Mike, I did take the plunge on that book of the battle maps that was out there. Those guys ended up breaking the $1 million mark on that book.
That amazes me too. That's
really? just for folks that weren't watching the discussion going on in our forums, it's the book is 11x17s. So when you lay the maps out flat, you've got a 17x22 play area there, or thereabouts, and the and the spine is such that it will lay flat, but what they are laminated battle maps for role-playing stuff, and so it's the lamination is both wet and dry erase compatible, and they come with a whole bunch of transparent sort of semi-adhesives that you can add to the different maps as needed. So if you need to move furniture around, if you need some accessories or something else, or spell effects are one of the things that they've got in there. So for role-playing folks and skirmish gamers, gives you some options for things that you can throw down on the table. And because it's all in one book, you just grab the one book and move it around as you need to play. Some of the maps are really, really good looking. And Mike, I hear you, you know, just go make your own maps and do all your own lamination. Man, that's work. These look good. It wasn't a very expensive deal. There's 35 or 40 different battle maps in there, so there's plenty to work with. And it really wasn't that expensive compared to, you know, what you could be spending on it, so.
Well, I tell you, $1 million. Be looking for my Kickstarter on Lock and Load Tactical Maps in a book format coming soon. If I can just make half that, I'll be happy. Hell, I'll even throw some zombie stickers in there, too, just for the hell of it.
Well, you could.
Why not? Everyone loves zombies. Why not? We'll be crazy. We'll go back to vampires.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Don't forget about the vampires.
That's werewolves. Need some werewolves in there.
Werewolves too. There you go. Ugh.
Oh God, no, right? Come on.
Yeah, so I did take the plunge on that one and went ahead and ponied up the 30-something bucks for that one. And so I'm looking forward to that getting here. I will say one of these days, one of these summers, I might go ahead and take and jump in on one of the Reaper's Minis Kickstarters when they have one of these things. By the time those things crank up and they end up making, you know, $4 million or whatever they end up raising on like a $50,000 target, you end up, yeah, the Kickstarter ends up costing you, you know, $80 or $100 for the, to buy into the Kickstarter, but you end up with like 410 minis out of the whole deal by the time it's all done. And, yeah. For the insane amount of stuff that you end up with for those Reaper's Minis Kickstarters, I may end up taking the plunge one year and just go ahead and load up on the minis one time.
Let's talk about that a little bit, because this is that Lock and Load Kickstarter is the first time I've done a Kickstarter.
Really?
And, I did it entirely on the basis of, I mean, I'll tell you what, I was at Origins a couple years ago and I talked with David Heath, and I've known David by reputation since the Matrix days, but then having a conversation with him and the direction he wanted to take the company, and I wasn't, at the time when I talked to him, I wasn't thinking about anything other than, like, I mean, he had just taken over Lock and Load and was talking about what he wanted to do with it. So, you know, on the basis of that, I backed the Kickstarter, and so for $60, I'm going to get a crap ton of stuff, you know.
I was kind of like Bob looking at this thing. You know, he's like, that's really not a period that interests me too much, and I was kind of the same way when it first ran on Kickstarter. I started looking at it and all those goals, and they started hitting them, and I was like, you got to be crazy not to jump in.
Yes, yeah. And you see, for me,
I own a number of those games from when it was
from the original publication of it. Yeah.
Yeah. I like those games a lot, and I'll tell you what, they had their issues. I mean, they were not perfect, and there were a lot of things about them that bugged the crap out of me. But they were fun games, and I invested in it. And so then talking with David and knowing that the improvements that were going to come, I mean, it's a great system, and it needs some polish, and they're apparently going to do that. So, you know, I backed it at $60, or, you know, and, you know, I got in early, so maybe it could have been 70, but if they deliver on what they are saying they're going to, I mean, it's a no-brainer. I mean,
oh my God, yeah. And, I mean, it's...
And you see, for you, like, that's not a period you're necessarily interested in, but all the extras make it a value you didn't want to pass up. For me, that is the period that I am primarily interested in, is, you know, Cold War era ground tactical combat that is my shtick. That is my wheelhouse. That's where I live.
I love that. I grew up reading Clancy and Red Storm Rising. I get all hot and heavy for that crap. And you know, the thing is, like, I'm a World War II nut, and I know inside and out. But I mean, the thing is, for someone who, I mean, Brent, you actually served. I mean, for someone who's not a military guy, I know the insides and outs statistically of all that shit, like, because I was a nut about it. I mean,
yeah,
I was in a class with I was in this naval history class when I was a freshman in high school. I'm in there with all these ROTC guys, and they're all pissed because, like, I'm not in the military, but I'm the nerd that knows all the information about, like.
You could have just stopped that. I'm the nerd.
That guy knows all the stuff we're supposed to know.
I actually thought I was going to get beat up by the ROTC guys. Like, you're killing us, son. Like, we need this. You don't. So we're going to kill you.
Yeah, you probably deserved it anyway.
I think that's a safe bet.
Yeah, that's what I grew up with. You know, I served shortly after the end of the Cold War, but that, you know, the first Cold War, the way things are going.
Yes.
You know, we had a brief 15-year lull in there, but that was the Cold War era that I grew up with when I was living in Germany in the mid 80s. So that's all the stuff that I was, you know, immersed in my formative years, and that, me and all my friends, that's what we aspired to when we grew up. That, you know, we're idolizing those guys because that's what we were around all the time. And, so, you know, the opportunity to fight those fights and nobody goes home bloody, it's, you know, it's a nice way to push cardboard around there for a little bit. All right, so let me ask, this is a bit of a dangerous question to ask, I know. Mirth, what is the very next game to hit your table? To hit your table, not stuff you're playtesting at somebody else's house getting ready for the convention.
No, my table. I'm actually trying to get, at any cost, Mets 1870 on the table.
Okay.
I am reading, if people pay attention to the forums, I'm reading a book that Bison recommended on the Franco-Prussian War. I'm deep into that now, so I'm pretty heavily committed to, like, Franco-Prussian War is where I'm at right now. I mean, I want to game it. I've done some scenarios with people in miniature. I definitely want to play the GMT game, and I know people that have it, so. Barthart won't like it, but I'm going to clip my counters.
The heathen.
You have to clip the counters.
Just call me heathen.
That's right.
You have to clip the counters. Okay, so, Mike, very next game to hit your table.
Well, other than Cataclysm.
We
won't count that one, but that'll be the next one. But directly behind that is going to be a Warfighter Pacific.
Okay.
I'm going to really... been in a Pacific mood lately. I've got like 3 or 4 Pacific games. Actually, I just took the Pacific War, like in Lowe's Pacific War, off the table. I played a few rounds of it.
The Pearl Harbor to the Philippines?
Yep.
All right, so since you mentioned it, what was your impression of the rule book?
The rule book. Did not like the rule book.
Okay.
My impression of the game was, if you played... what is it? Victory in the Pacific?
Yep.
It seems to be like an updated version of that.
Yep.
To me.
No,
which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but it just, I don't know.
No, because there have been issues that people have mentioned with the rule books that they have found it to be mostly unplayable as written, and that there's been a revised version of the rules that have been in the works for over a year now. And
so the reason I stopped playing it is because I got confused in the rules and got so far off track, I was just like, okay, I'm done. I'll do this again later.
Yeah, that's not good. That's not a complex game, I'll tell you.
No, not by any means. No.
Yeah, not as complex as people try to make it.
I'm staring at my face right now on my game table, so.
It's no Empire of the Sun, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's not even supposed to be an Empire of the Sun.
But I'm looking at Pacific War Compass Games, and it kind of looks along the same lines. It's a little different. It's car driven, but
well, Compass Games is a whole other animal. Let's not go down that road right now.
But anyway, yeah, Warfighter. That's next.
That's the next one on the table, huh?
Absolutely.
All right. Cool. I too have put Pacific War on the table and taken it back off the table multiple times. And have not yet gotten beyond just the first part of the rules and starting to push a couple counters around. Part of it is I'm trying to do some solo stuff just to get an understanding of it. But it, I've found the rule book to be a little challenging.
Yeah.
So that one has come off the table again. And, I've got my copy of Blackbeard that I ordered during the GMT sale last fall. That I might finally get up on the table and punch it out. You know, I've got the game den. You know, I've got the office out here where I've got a dining room table out here that I can leave stuff set up on. Except that when the holidays get here, it turns into the gift wrapping table because it's away from the kids where we can wrap stuff up that they can't find. Now I've got my table back and finished cleaning up the office out here to get rid of some older paperwork. I've got room to get Blackbeard on the table now, and I might go ahead and do that and start pushing that around a little bit. So
that's a solo game, isn't it?
I don't think so. I'm just wanting to learn enough of it that I can grab a friend or two and sit down and play. I've got a couple of dudes in the neighborhood here who have started to graduate to some of the more complex and difficult Euro type games. One of them is big on Scythe. Scythe, however you want to say it. And so I'm trying to move those guys into some of, yes, I'm trying to move those guys to some of the lighter war games. So I'm hoping that I can get a tank on tank in front of them here or there. I'm hoping Blackbeard is war gamey enough while still having that North Carolina tie here that I can get those guys interested in that one. You're not sorry. You do this shit all the time.
I assume you're talking about the zombie edition of Uno.
Zombie Uno. Zombo Uno.
Isn't that pretty much what you are when you're done playing Uno?
Zombo Uno.
Oh, boy.
Oh, Mike, I love you.
I love you too, buddy.
All right. On that note, we're going to say goodnight and call it the end of this issue of episode of Mentioned in Dispatches.
The episode that never aired and was lost.
Yeah. Episode.
Maybe.
This will be the exclusive in the DVD edition.
I know, right?
Mentioned in Dispatches.
The lost episode, and there's a reason we lost it.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Audience, we love you guys. We promise. We actually do love you guys. So,
we won't do this to you again.
Well, we can't say that. Anytime we got Mirth on here, it's a 50-50 how sober he is. So, so, you know, this.
Yeah. He's got us there.
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't know what you're expecting on this call.
Oh, I knew what I was getting. All right, everybody. Good night.